Sharifa Videocast. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and we have a very special guest for you today. I absolutely love, love, love when I have the opportunity to sit down with one of my guests in a prolonged conversation. Too often on the Roundtable Talk Show, I only have a few minutes to get a high-level expectation or understanding of our guests. And today, we're going to have more time to sit down with a lovely young lady you have seen on the Roundtable Talk Show. She is amazing. She is wonderful. Miss Brittany Sosman. She is a former educator who was checking all the right boxes, and everything abruptly changed in 2017. A diagnosis of a brain tumor changed her life. It brought a crispness to her future vision that she previously was missing. She immediately began actively designing a life that she was excited to live every single day. And now she helps others do the same thing as well. Good morning, Brittany. Good afternoon, Brittany. How are you?
I'm so good, Sharifa. How are you?
I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm excited to have you here today. I'm excited to learn about you, to sit down, because I loved your energy when we met before. But for those who don't know you, who for some reason, whatever it was, missed your episode of the Roundtable Talk Show, please let them know who you are, what you do, and what you're passionate about.
Sure. Thanks so much for having me back. I really, really enjoyed the round table. I'm super excited to have a deeper conversation. So my name is Brittany, and I, as you said, I was checking all the boxes, and that brain tumor, that experience, the surgery, the recovery launched me into this period of just extreme growth after this really kind of a life crisis. And I went on my own journey toward finding out, who am I really? What do I want in life? Who do I want to become? And as I was going on this journey, I kept getting friends and family and sometimes even strangers in the bar or in a restaurant saying, what? Your energy is just so infectious. What are you doing? What's so different? And I couldn't put it into words, but because I was in the middle of my own journey, of course, as I progressed, I started to really be able to look back and reflect on my journey and be able to contextualize it a little bit more to explain it to others. And so that's what I do now, is I help others experience this type of transformational growth, but hopefully without that type of life crisis or trauma or earth-shattering moment. And so I work one-on-one with people. I have work groups. I have a workbook, all kinds of resources. But the main goal is to really help my clients know themselves first on just this deep, deep, intimate level.
Wow. I want to go into that, but can we go back to the checking all the boxes? So usually when we hear checking all the right boxes, that means, you know, we go to the right schools, we get the education that everyone thinks that we should have. We get the career that's safe, you know. So what for you do you mean by checking all the right boxes?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I had expectations growing up about what life would look like. And some of those expectations came from family. Some of them came from the school that I went to. Some of them came from the media, movies, all kinds of different messages that I was receiving about what life should be when you get out of school and become an adult. And I was doing those things. I went from high school to college. I went from college to grad school. I went right into that in the field of higher education, and was climbing that ladder within education. And I bought a home. You know, I was doing all the things. I was, and, you know, and at the same time, was also putting off a lot of things as well. You know, travel, oh, that will happen in retirement, or, you know, the things that, you know, you'll be happy when you don't have to work, or, you know, work 5 days and then you enjoy two days on the weekend. And I really had subscribed to this in the hope that someday I'll actually get to enjoy all the things that I'm working hard for. And so that's what checking boxes looks like for me personally.
So you had a tumor, was it a tumor, a brain aneurysm?
A brain tumor, yes.
A brain tumor. So can you walk us through that period? You were healthy, you were living a nice, normal life, and then what happened?
Yeah. So this was right after the new year in 2017, and I was having lunch with a friend on a Monday, and I had a migraine coming on, and this wasn't anything new. It wasn't anything surprising. I'd had migraines before, and so I just knew, you know, when I get home, I have my normal routine that I would do to kind of keep it at bay or make it go away, and I did those things. And 2 hours later, it came back with a vengeance. And that was different. I'd never had a migraine come back so quickly like that. And so, but I still was kind of like, okay, that's interesting. That's different. But I just cycled back through my normal routine and went to sleep. And then the next day, I started getting kind of like a lightning bolt kind of flash in my right eye. But it would be very brief, like a matter of seconds, and then it would be gone. And again, I was kind of like, oh, that's interesting. That's strange, but okay, I'm noticing. By that Wednesday, 2 days later, I was having complete blackouts in my right eye for about 10 to 12 seconds each. And my coworker was the one that finally encouraged me. Like, you know, she was like, Brittany, I'm really worried. I think you really need to get this checked out. And so I was like, okay. So to satisfy her, I went to the immediate care center after work, and they did a vision test and told me, no, you really actually need to go to the emergency room. And they asked, would you like for us to call you an ambulance? And even still, I thought, this is crazy. This is, you know, I'll just walk. It's not a big deal. It's six blocks away. I don't need an ambulance. The seriousness of it had just not sunk in. Because I was 30 years old at the time. I was young. I'd not had any health issues prior to this. But when I did get to the ER, they did a CT, and the emergency room doctor came in and said, you know, there, we did find a mass. We need to run some more tests to find out more about what it is, and we need to admit you to do that. And I said, okay. Does this mean that this is probably a good time that I need to be letting someone know that I'm actually in the hospital? He laughed and said, yes, that probably would be a good thing to do. And so I texted my sister, gave her the quick update about what was going on, and in went the morphine into my IV, and off to La La Land I went. I was in surgery the next day on Friday. So from Monday to Friday, this is all happening so quickly. And I don't remember much of my hospital visit, coming home. Recovery for the first week or so is very, very murky. But as time went on, you know, my memories start to come back and fill in gaps and things like that. But yeah, that it was very, very quick. And that was part of my experience, that, you know, I needed to go into surgery really quickly because of how quickly my symptoms were progressing. So I didn't really have an opportunity to get a second opinion or get other treatment plans or options. And so my recovery and kind of coming to terms with it, if you will, happened after the fact rather than being able to prepare for it.
So after this incredible experience, well, let's not even get to after. How long was the process for you? Was this something where you went in the hospital, you came back the next day, you bounced back, went on to life? You were, you know, what was this process like for you?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So Monday was my migraine. Friday was the surgery. And I came out of surgery into the ICU. They stepped me down and the recovery progressed pretty well, actually. My neurosurgeon shared that, you know, this really was a textbook recovery, and I'm just incredibly grateful for that. And so I was home the following Tuesday, and then recovery at home took several weeks. Now, I will admit my recovery should have been longer, but I'm a person that I just cannot sit still. So I was eager to get back to work, get, you know, all the things and just start getting back to life. You know, this knocked me off my feet, but I just wasn't willing to let it knock me off my feet for good. So I was back at it about 3 weeks in terms of physically getting out of the house, doing shopping, going to work, those kinds of things. But emotionally, there was still a lot of recovery to do. And that took, I mean, I'm still going through some of that recovery now. And I, to be honest with you, I don't know if that will ever change.
Wow. But in the process of your recovery, you also said, what can I do to help other people? How did you wake up to this epiphany of living a life that you love?
Yeah, I think it came to kind of going back to checking all of those boxes. And I had a moment of, wow, thank goodness this was a textbook surgery, a textbook recovery, but I can't be promised that again. And one thing, Sharifa, that I didn't mention is they actually were not able to get all of the tumor because of the location of it. So I do still have a little bit left that I go back and monitor for additional growth. And at some point in time, I probably will have to have additional treatment. But that was, and so there's always this aspect of this that it can and probably will come back again. And I just had a moment of like, who am I? First of all, who's putting these boxes on my list? And then who am I checking them for? Mm-hmm. And I realized that I was doing a lot of things for other people because of the expectations of other people, not because of my own expectations for myself. And I just made the decision like that, that's just not going to happen anymore. I'm not going to allow that. There's no room for it anymore.
Mm. So what is a life that you love? I know it sounds so simple, so easy. I mean, but life is life. You know, some days you have good days, some days you have bad days, but it's life. What do you want people to focus on? And what do you talk about? You have a book out, correct?
I do, yes. So you're absolutely right. There are good days and bad days. And even though, you know, everybody always comments about my energy, it's not always this way. I have bad days as well. I have tough spots and rough spots. And that's what life is how can you, be, you know, strive for happiness and fulfillment and find your passion and all of these things. And also learn and embrace those moments to grow and make mistakes and say, hey, didn't do that right, but let me try again. And that's where, you know, this, and I write about this in my workbook, the Examined Life Workbook, that's where this concept of a true north comes from. And I really believe that that is the core of now creating a life that you are excited about. Identifying that true north. And then once you have it identified, you literally can compare every decision you make, big, small, to that true north, and ask yourself, is this in alignment with my true north today? And if it's not, will it get me closer to my true north in the future? Then maybe I need to go through a little bit of a tough stuff so that I can get there in the future. But if the answer is no to both of those, then it's okay to say no to that opportunity. And it also gets you closer and closer alignment with your true north.
What made you decide to write, like specifically made you decide to write the book?
Yeah. Several people have been telling me like, Brittany, you need to write a book about this. But I just kind of brush it off. Like, I don't know if I have a book in me. This has been tough for me, and I don't know that I'm ready to go back and relive this in order to be able to write about it and help others through it. But with time I softened, and also as a former educator, I also wanted to pull in the different concepts that I knew about in terms of how people learn best. And, you know, there are all kinds of amazing books out there that will tell you that these are the steps that you need to take to live X kind of life. For me, though, what I learned in my journey is that there is no one way to live life, and there is no prescribed boxes to be checked, that everyone needs to design that for themselves. So rather than writing a book that was prescriptive it really is a workbook style. So yes, I do share my story. I share tips and tricks that worked for me, but ultimately it's about creating the space for you to get honest and real with yourself about what you want and about who you are right now, who you want to become, and then fill that space in between. So it really, I mean, it's exercises, it's reflection questions. There's all kinds of graphs and imagery in there. And you're taking a pen and you're writing in it and you're drawing pictures and you are engaging with it and finding the answers for yourself.
What is it that you want people to take away from the workbook?
Oh my goodness. I mean, more than anything, I want them to have a deeper knowing of who they are. I firmly believe that that is the starting point to creating a life that you love and having a life lived by design. Is I you know, it's like this, Sharifa, you've, I'm sure, used a GPS app in your phone to go from one place to another. And when you go into that app, the first line in those directions is your starting point. Where are you starting? And then you also put in your end destination, and then it fills in the directions about how to get there. But if you don't have a starting point, then there's no way to know and get directions on how to get to where you want to go. So that is the number one thing, is that deeper knowing of who you are right now and how you're showing up in the world right now.
So then my question is, what if we use the same analogy of a GPS? I like it. I think it works. But I think with a GPS, we know what that specific destination is. I can, from my house in Long Beach, I can head for LAX. I can head for the airport. I know what it is. I know how long it takes to get there. I know what it looks like when I get there. I know this is LAX. I see that too often in life, people don't know. They don't have a clue. They don't know what that happy life looks like. They don't know what steps to take to get there. So even if someone were to come and give them this magic GPS to say, hey, you know, you can, if you map it out, they don't know where to go. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And that's really the next part in the workbook and in the process, is discovering who you want to become, discovering that other end point. And also that's where we swap out the GPS for a compass and where that true north.
Yes, we're having an interesting conversation today with Miss Brittany Salzman. She's talking about true north and how to find out how to live a life you love. Brittany?
Yeah. So the compass, it kind of ends up kind of replacing that GPS at a certain point in the process, right? Because Sharifa, you and I could be using GPS together and to have the same start point and the end point, and it's going to tell us the exact same path to get from one to the other. But the reality is, we're not identical. We have our own personality, our own experience, our own goals, our own dreams. And that's where we swap for a compass. And that true north becomes so important, because in that case, we can have the same starting point. But when we have that true north and we're open to the possibilities, that's where we start to discover who is it that we want to become. And that's that part three in the workbook, is looking forward into the future. Like, okay, we figured out where you are now. Now let's look at the other end of this. And then the last part is, how do we connect these two? What's the plan of action to get you from where you are now to your true north?
So what is the plan of action? What's the steps? How to get them there?
That's a great question. And I wish I had that answer, but the true answer is that it is different for every person, because every person has a different starting point. Every person has a different true north. And even if we do have the same true north and the same starting point, the way that we execute it is going to be different because of our own nuances and paths and journey that we experience. But what it does look like is about 12 activities to really flesh out in detail that action plan, and to also prepare for pit stops, for detours, and expect that that's going to be part of the journey as well, and plan ahead so that when you come across those, you're not surprised by them.
So what are some of the things, some of the tips, strategies that you can use when you come across them, how you can relate to it, how you can respond to it? Because I think what happens is that we often try, right? I think a lot of people try to be this person who's living this happy life, doing the happy things, doing what other people think we should do. Or sometimes it's ourselves. We're looking at, okay, well, I should be doing this so that I could be happy. I should do this so it, you know, I live a better life. But then when we have that day where everything is just knocked down, it's like, okay, I tried.
Absolutely. Well, the first part of that is to be prepared that they're part of the journey. You know, not to get too researchy or theoretical about it, but there is a theory that it's called hope theory. And one of the things that we know about hopeful people is that they plan for these obstacles. They expect that they are going to be part of the path. And so then when they do come up on that obstacle, they've got other options for themselves. And they just say, oh, I'm here. Okay. I know exactly what my option B and C and D are. And that develops that resilience, that grit, that persistence to continue through to that goal on the other end. So that's the very first thing is just, you know, then that's the starting point, the end point. And then what are the possibilities that could be roadblocks in between, identifying them and planning for them and having an alternative plan for each one of those obstacles.
I love it. They say, you know, the question is, the joke is, how do you make God laugh? You tell him your plans. So you have to be able to adjust because we always think we're going to do one thing and we're going this way. And life is like, no. Now you're over here. I definitely get it. But when people read the workbook and they go through these different assessments and take these, you know, write down everything, do you feel that sometimes people finish the book, they see the steps they need to make, they see what they're doing and how they got there, but they don't have the, whatever it is, the strength, let's just say the strength to do the next steps? Because so often we are self-aware. We know what our issues are. We know what our problems are, but do we have the strength to overcome it?
Yeah, that, oh my goodness, that comes up so often. And that is the number one reason why I created my work groups. I had a few journeyers who ordered my workbook and then came back to me and was like, wow, this is a lot. This is work. And I don't know if I can do this. Like, have you ever thought about creating a community who can do it together? And I'll be honest, Sharifa, that had not even crossed my mind when I wrote my workbook, but I took it and I ran with it and it has been wildly successful. So this is where that accountability comes in, the support, the challenge that, hey, I'm here with you. You're not alone. Those types of things. And I keep these groups very small for a reason. They're capped at 10 people because that's the type of space I want to be able to create for journeyers. Is I don't want you to be a number that's lost in this group that can just keep your camera off and not really engage. I want you to be able to have the space to really dig in and do this work. And then for those who want to go a step further, that's where we can work one-on-one together. And that's really the deepest level of support that I offer.
With a one-on-one session, with a deep level of support, what do people take out or take away from that session?
Yeah. So it goes a few different ways and I design it specifically for the person that I'm working with. So there are some clients who come to me and they say, I want to do this workbook hand in hand with you, one-on-one. We're going to walk alongside each other and that's great. And we follow it from cover to cover. I have other clients who have the workbook and kind of do it on their own. But when they hit a stumbling block or that obstacle that we were talking about earlier, or that self-doubt starts creeping in, or that, you know, they just start losing that momentum, that motivation, then we might connect and coach around what is showing up to help kind of find that way around the obstacle or over the obstacle, in order to keep moving. And then I have other clients that, have never even worked with the workbook at all and just want to work directly with me, even having not having the workbook. And that's okay too. But the goal of everything that I offer, whether it's my workshops, the workbook, the work group, or even one-on-one sessions, the ultimate goal of everything is that my clients know themselves first.
Knowledge is power. When you know yourself, you have the ability to be able to make changes. Awareness is key because you know what you need to work on, you know where you are, you know what needs to happen. So it makes it even easier, even though it's a very difficult process. I know it was a difficult process for you to go from where you were to where you are. It is amazing. Now, what are some of the things that you learned during this journey? I think that's also very key because we learn along the way.
Yes. Oh my goodness. How much time do we have, Sharifa?
About 5 minutes.
Oh my goodness. I learned so much. And that is the core of this work is that this, yes, there is an end to the workbook, but it's not the end of the journey. There's an end of our coaching relationship together, but it's not the end of the journey. You are always learning and growing. And I think the number one learning for me is that I can create whatever life I want to have. Now, I will say I'm a very practical person. And so I don't lean into the woo-woo and all of that side of coaching. Definitely, I don't disagree with it. And I think that there are amazing coaches out there who offer those services. So when I say that you can have any life that you want to have, I don't think that that's through manifestation or visualization or self-actualization. I think it's because I've identified, like we were talking about before, I've identified where I am now. I've identified where I want to go. I've collected the resources that I need to make this happen, and I bust my booty to make it come to life. It's not just to sit back and hope and dream and wish that someday it will come along. It's hard work. It is hard work. I just had a work group finish last week, and oh my goodness, our final session is just amazing. It's so, so powerful. But one of the journeyers said, like, it was hard. It's not easy to look at yourself in this deep way, but I looked forward to it every single week.
You have so many gems in what you had to say, and I agree with you to a certain extent. And I don't like to disagree or put my guess on the defense. But there was only a slight difference is when you mentioned like the visualization. For me, a lot of times when people, especially, they're not doing it as much now, but it used to be that time where everyone was into the law of attraction. It was the law of attraction is everything's the law of attraction. You got to attract, you got to attract, you got to attract. And for me, I wasn't a huge fan of it. Not that I don't think that the law of attraction works. I just think people forget that there are more than just the law of attraction. For me, my favorite law is the law of averages. That's why I've always been amazing at sales. It wasn't the law of attraction, it was the law of averages. I knew that if I got in front of at least 100 people a day, the law of averages says that a certain amount of those people will say yes, a certain amount of those people will say no. So if I say, call 10 people, okay, maybe one will say yes. Now, if I call 100 people, maybe 13 will say yes. But just based on the law of averages, more, there's a likelihood the more I speak to, more will say yes. But when you say the visualization, when I hear the visualization, I hear that from a theory where we say, oh yeah, I want to visualize it and it happens. But for me, the aspect of visualization is being crystal clear on what you want, being and seeing it, visualizing it in your mind's eye so that you can go out and be successful and that you know what it is that you like. So I love to hear your thoughts because, like, again, I don't want to contradict you, but I just wanted to make that little point and hear your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I'm so glad you circled back on this because that I 1,000% agree with what you're sharing. I also am not a huge fan of the law of attraction and believe it and it will be and those kinds of things. But visualization is very, very powerful. And in fact, I use visualization in three different exercises in my workbook, one of which is that you actually get to sit down and have a conversation with this future self that you are creating and get to hear from that person and get a message from them, learn about their life, and so that you can crystallize what you're working towards. And so You're absolutely right. Visualization can be really, really powerful. And there has to be something that comes afterwards. It can't just be the visualization by itself.
Yes. I like that exercise that you do. And I hope that the people really key in and they understand how important it is. Because if you want a future life, people always say, I want a better life. That's the term they always use, is I want a better life, right? Okay. But then I would ask the question, what does that better life look like? And they're like, exactly. Well, I don't know. It's just better. I'm like, okay. But where are you living? Are you living on the beach? Are you living in the city? Are you living in the country? Where are you living? Are you living in the castle? Are you living in the hut? Where, you know, specifically, what do you see? Because if you want to visualize it and bring it to life, those are the things that you have to key into. Are you married? Are you single? Or, you know, visualize the specifics, because the more specific you are, the easier it is to manifest. That's what I think about visualization, but I think so many people don't take it serious. I remember a couple of years ago, I had to host, you don't want me to, I'm telling you, Brittany, you do not want me to host one of your, anybody's vision board. You know, I had a vision board class or whatever that someone actually asked me to host. And so I'm like, okay, I'll host it. And so I go do this vision board class, and people are just creating vision boards and, you know, everything. And it's supposed to be what they want to manifest in their life. And there's a lady, young lady, who was a friend of mine. So I can joke with my friend, but I went and I saw her. We had magazines that you pull out different things and paste them on the board. And I looked at her vision board, and she had put mermaids and all kind of stuff on her vision board. I did. People were like, Sharifa, you got problems. I tore her vision board up, and I told her, don't waste my time. Like, you can waste your time, but don't waste my time. If you want to manifest, if you want to create this life, like you mentioned that, but be clear. You can't be a mermaid. I'm sorry. You don't like the word can't. You can't be a mermaid. So come up with something that you have the ability to create, a life that you have the ability to create, for real.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and that's one of the things that I really love about this future self activity and the visualization that I have, is because I think that generally people can say, oh, well, I want to live in this area, and I want to be married, or I want to have a family, or I don't, or, you know, I see myself in a condo, or I see myself in a single family home, or I'll be doing this work. But I still find that having that in a conversational way still has that tone of external expectations, because it's just, we've had it for so long. It's sometimes very challenging to let go of. And the way that I've designed the visualization in my workbook is that you actually go to my website and listen to a recording that walks you through it. And you have a conversation with this future self that you envision. And what that does is, one, it puts you in a space where you are just, your imagination just goes crazy, first of all. And so that releases all of these expectations about whatever life should be. But then also it taps into not just what are the things that you have or what are the things that you have done, but who are you being? What, you know, what are your strengths? What are the character traits? How do you carry yourself? Those aspects of it that sometimes we miss when we are in conversation with one another, dreaming about the future. And what's really powerful about that, every single time I do this activity with clients, they come back just so surprised at something that came out of that. I didn't even know that that was part of it, but now that I see it, I cannot wait. And it gets them excited.
I'm the same way. I get excited. I get excited about change. I get excited about learning more about me and what's going on in my life. But too often, and I always tell people, especially as I get older, I have what I call a 30-day cycle, right? That for me is, I'll say, oh my God, Brittany, my tummy is a little bit big. I got to join the gym. Okay. I'll go join the gym. Within 30 days, I'm no longer going to the gym. You know, anything involving bettering myself. Okay, Sharifa, you need to drink more water. You got to drink those 8 glasses of water a day. Guess what? I'll do it for a day, 2 days. Okay, within 30 days, I'm back to that habit that got me to where I am Now, eat healthier. Sounds great. Right before I launched the Roundtable Talk Show on the 30th of March, the month before, prior to that, I did a 7-day fast. I changed so much. Then COVID hit. I was at McDonald's ordering mocha lattes, mocha cafe, you know, because I needed something. So when you process all this information, you know what you need to change. You know what you need to do. But then guess what? How do you maintain it? How do you sustain it?
Absolutely. And this is, so there's a couple pieces to this. One, this is where your true north can be really, really powerful. That reminder of what am I working toward? But the other piece too, is I think there's this sometimes there's a, what I think is a misunderstanding that you're either motivated or you're not. It's either on or off. And my approach to motivation is that there's actually lots of different ways that we can motivate ourselves, and that the different ways that we are motivated works differently at different points in our journey. So for example, let me just give the example of my writing process for this book. Part one of this is me sharing my story, of me sharing in detail more about that, my migraine and going to the hospital and coming out on the other side of that. It was very difficult for me to sit down and write that because I didn't know if I was ready to go back and relive it in order to be able to write it down. But I knew that I was in, at that time, I was in Colorado on vacation, and I knew there was a restaurant there that had a dessert that I really, really wanted. And so I told myself, when you finish writing the draft of this introduction, you can go get that dessert. Sharifa, I had that draft done in half of a day. And that night I went and got that dessert, but that got me over the hump of the hard part. And then after that, like everything was just flowing and all the activities were coming together. And then I was motivated because the seeing it come to life and more activities and pages and like that page count was going up and up and up. And I could not wait to open my laptop and write more and write more. I was motivated just for the process itself. And then there was a point where my inner critic crept in and started asking and tooting its own horn of like, well, who are you to do this? No one's going to be interested in this. This is not a big deal. Your story is just like 100 other people out there, you know, those kinds of talking down to myself. And so I was working with a writing coach throughout this entire process. And I had a coaching session with her, and we came up with this mantra that I taped to the top of my keyboard on my laptop that said, the world needs this. And that's where that motivation for the sake of others kicked in. And that's what drove me through to the end of the process. And so even with one project or one task, you can tap into different motivation styles. It was never that I wasn't motivated. It was just that I needed to shift gears and try a different approach to keep me moving forward.
You have shared so much information today. I am intrigued. And I also want to learn more and take a look at that workshop, but we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this interview live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your interview today.
Yes. Thank you so much, Sharifa, for digging into this deeper with me. As I mentioned at the top, I had a blast on the Roundtable Talk Show, and I'm just so thrilled that we got the opportunity to go further with it. You can find me at lifelivedbydesign.com. You can find the workbook there. You can find my work groups. I'm launching my next work group on May 26th, and I only have a few spots left in that. But most importantly, I want everyone to know that I think that everyone has this desire to be seen and heard and known. And what I want everyone to know is that really starts with you knowing yourself first. When you know yourself first, that's where your voice just grows and grows, and your confidence grows, and it becomes infectious to those around you. And this ripple effect is created that has impact beyond your wildest dreams.
I think that's beautiful. And if you need a little bit of help, where can they pick up your workshop, your workbook?
Yeah, you can visit the examineslifeworkbook.com. That's the name of the workbook, and snag your copy there.
I love it. Get some workshops, workbooks, but the most important thing is that you live a life that you love. I think that's what we can both agree on, Brittany.
I totally agree.
I want to thank you for being today's guest on Ask Sharifa Videocast. I definitely enjoyed it. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show. But please, as I always say, don't just watch the show, and appreciate you sharing the show, but support our guest. Support Brittany. She's here being authentic and sharing her journey with you. So please support her. Pick up a copy of her book, find out about some of her workshops, work with her. One-on-one session will be able to improve your life. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on Ask Sharifa Videocast, please visit my website at AskSharifa.com. Until next time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.